This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, I think this would be the appropriate Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by General Plumbing Supply. Who's hot? We're hot. That's who's hot. We're hot. We're red hot. We're scalding hot. Me and Rick DiPietro, we're hot. We went into a match and odds were stacked against us. I mean, if you really wanted to make some cashish yesterday, some real money, you should have bet straight sets we win. That's who's hot. We're hot. Red hot. Scalding hot. Hot, hot. That's who's hot.
Hot, sticky, sweet.
That's right. I guess the Yankees are hot, too. They swept the weekend away over Detroit. Hot, sticky, sweet. Rangers hot.
Real hot. Rangers real hot.
Real hot, 5-0. Knicks hot.
Yep.
A licky boom boom down. That's funny every time for me.
Mets all so hot right now.
Who's not hot? Mets not hot.
No, Mets not. Pete Alonso not hot.
Not hot. No. You know what, though? It's going to make it easier to trade Pete Alonso.
That was going to be the big kind of conundrum.
Well, if he's still like in 280 with a bundle of home runs and RBIs off the charts, you'd be like, God, it's going to be so hard to trade him. If he continues like this, when they trade him, you'll be like, you know what? It's the move they had to make.
Emotionally, you're right. I mean, business-wise, if he's 280 hitting a bunch of home runs, but your team's not winning, that's probably the best time.
Get the better return. He'll get traded to the Cubs, and then away you go.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Because, I mean, you're my sports guy.
Hold the question for 30 seconds.
Okay.
No. You'll understand why. That's who's hot, who's not. Brought to you by General Plumbing Supply. General Plumbing Supply's starting lineup of experts will help keep your clients cool and your business hot. Like, we're hot. For Grand Slam quality and service, trust the real experts at GPS. Okay, now go ahead.
You're my sports Jesus. Harrison Bader, you okay with that play or no?
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I clearly you're not going to be okay with it.
Well, tell me what the benefit of that play is if he does make it.
If he makes it, tying run's going to score, right?
Right.
You keep the runner. I mean, you get the out.
Okay.
Like, here's the thing: if he was a mediocre center fielder, I'd say, what are you doing? Just play conservatively. He's an elite center fielder. He's made great plays all weekend long. I did not have a problem with it. Like, I guess you're going to. Why did you have such a problem with it?
Well, for what you just said, if he catches it, there's now one out, and what happens? The game is tied.
Right.
If he doesn't, what's going to happen?
You lose.
Right. So, listen, if that's two outs, and that catch means that we win because the game is over, yeah. With how good he's at center field, I have no problem with that. Be aggressive. But it means that they're going to score. Game is going to be tied. There'll be one out, and the inning's not even over yet. So him being over-aggressive leads to now all of a sudden the game is over. Yeah, I mean, makes the play, he's a hero, that's great. But, I mean, otherwise, even if he makes the play, the run's still going to score, the game is tied.
No, you're right. It's just I have such confidence in him that I thought he was going to make the play, and I'm sure he thought he was going to make the play, and he will make that play.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is, best case scenario is he makes the play, the game is still tied.
Right, but now you have an out. If he doesn't make the play and it drops in, now there's still no outs in that inning.
But the game's still, you're still playing. Now it's
correct.
Now it's first and second with no outs, as opposed to game is over.
That's right.
Right. But I didn't feel like the risk reward was worth it at that point.
If he would have made the catch, maybe you feel a little differently though.
Maybe, but we still don't know how he makes the catch, one out, they tie the game, and then win.
That's not what lost the game. Don't get lost in the weeds here. I mean, Edwin Diaz has to close that game out.
Of course. I'm not saying that's the reason why you lost the game. I just don't know why in that moment. I know why he did it, because I probably would have made the same play. But as far as, you know, best case scenario, I catch it. There's one out. Game is tied now because the run's going to score anyway from third. Worst case is I miss it, and now the game is over.
I understand what you're saying. I felt like that game was over the second that Arozarena hit that ball off of Edwin Diaz.
Well, because you name the one thing that you have the most confidence with, this team. It's Edwin Diaz with the ball in his hand, right?
But you don't, like, the Knicks, the game goes to overtime the other night. They weren't going to win that game. They weren't going to win that game. The Maple Leafs, you had a 1-0 lead. Now it's 1-1. You're the Maple Leafs. You're not going to win that game in overtime. Like, sometimes you just know the momentum is such a huge carryover. The second that ball went out against Edwin Diaz, I was like, the Mets, there's no way they're going to win this game.
Well, I think probably for the same reason that you felt that way is probably why they felt that way. It's because for them, I mean, they have that much confidence in Edwin Diaz. I mean, you saw how it affected. I mean, you saw how it affected last season when he got hurt.
This is not the same Edwin Diaz we saw 2 years ago.
It does not seem like he trusts his fast, but his velocity is down too. So
his velocity is down. His stuff is not nearly as filthy, and he's not nearly as dominant.
He strikes out the first one, gets the other one to pop out, and then it's the home run. But no. But all his success is because, I mean, it starts with his fastball. And if he doesn't, you know, velocity's down all of a sudden, he doesn't trust it. That's going to, I mean, he's not going to be as dominant. Right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, but you need him to be, and therein lies the problem. By the way, this is Reed Garrett is something else, huh?
Reed Garrett is awesome. Well, you need him to be. You need Pete to be. I mean, yeah, McNeil's got to be better. I mean, you name it.
I mean, Lindor's been a little better.
But he made a great defensive play the other day. Didn't matter, though, because
we
still.
Oh, my God. What a play that was, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, Ottavino and then Reed Foley come in. Walk two runs in. After Christian Scott was filthy.
He was. How good was he?
Oh, my God. You know what I loved about it, too? First three, you could probably nerves, whatever you want to chalk it up to.
I'm sure he was nervous.
Right, all his family's there. It's his first start. First three, and then he settled down, dude. He was throwing a sweeper that was gross. Ugh.
Apparently, your friend Mike Tenenbaum is going to join us at 8:45 this morning.
Good. See, at least he's got some integrity.
Well, we'll see. But we'll see. RJ writes on my screen, though, he's going to call in to defend himself.
Well, maybe he was. Maybe he's like, was it Fran that called in?
Yeah, that kind of fell on the sword.
Yeah, that was. I mean, sometimes you just get wrapped up. I mean, Anita's telling you all this how she plays every day.
Well, I mean, if Mike calls and says, "Guys, I got swayed by Anita, and I thought about him. You know, Monty, football player. I have a football background. I thought he was going to be really, really good. And I knew he played tennis as a kid. And I was, you know, not certain about Dave. If he owns up to it, then you know what." I'll accept the apology. If he starts with, well, Anita was a little inebriated. If you guys played them again, they'd get the best of you. I'm going to become very, very angry.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that either because I had Ella's first communion on Saturday and had a couple of drinks on Saturday night too, so I don't want to hear any excuses.
No, and also, you know what? It's kind of embarrassing. You have a huge match. You've been trash-talking for months leading up to the match. Do you have no self-control that you can't help but drink the night before the match?
Oh, I think it just speaks to how lightly she was taking us.
Okay, well, you know what? Sorry. Yeah. No, nobody feels badly. Nobody wants to hear your excuses. You got humbled in the match.
With that many people, not just live, but streamed it.
Thousands streamed it.
Thousands streamed
hundreds
it. The place
and
was
hundreds
packed.
Were there live. I mean, it was a big scene. You hear on the winning point the eruption from the crowd.
I wonder where that crowd that we had yesterday would kind of rank as far as like when you went to like a real pickleball event.
I don't think it's like that.
Well, no, I've watched some of it, but I don't know exactly how many people are there. But
did they get a raucous crowd like that at pickleball?
I don't know it's probably not that raucous, but I mean, we had both sides, we had both ends packed. I mean, we had the whole section with all the companies. I mean,
yeah,
it was
and then
great.
We had friends and family in the one section, which was nice.
I mean, someone brought a whole bag, like a big giant Ziploc bag of hot dogs.
And threw them all over the place when we won.
A bag exploded.
Yeah, that was nice. Let's go to PBM. Purple Belt Mike is on the line. Good morning, PBM.
Good morning, Champs. Shout out to the company. I want to talk a little pickleball. My voice just sucks. I was screaming for you guys. But I had all these chants ready. I had you steal cheese for Anita.
Right.
I had Coomer is a loser. I didn't even have to say any of that. You guys destroyed them. Before the match, I told Anita, good luck. You're going to need it. And she did because Armani didn't score 1 point. Armani was doing his Darren Waller impression. He was just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he was
with
not.
That slaughter.
He was not great.
With that slaughter in Stamford, I thought I had to break out my badge because that murder, I had to start an investigation. Let's go, guys. DNR, home field advantage, baby.
Thank I like that call. That. I like that call.
How about the fans? I mean, our fans show up wherever we go.
They're the best. The absolute best.
I mean, I guess at one point they were heckling Anita, and the people that run Pickleball America had to go over and say, listen, you can't heckle her like that every point.
What did they say?
Every point they were just like heckling her and taunting her and chastising her and
for them to for Pickleball America to put a stop to it, something had to be out of line.
It was not cheering for us. It was like they were trying to really get into the headspace of Anita and Imani. And I guess I don't know if it was working or not, but they had to go over and tell them like you
and you applaud it. You'll take the advantage.
Yeah. See, you know what the great thing is? If they would do that to me, it would only motivate me. But I guess Anita didn't appreciate it. And I don't blame her. I mean, you shouldn't have to be heckled during this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was just like the heckling. I think it was just like the reality setting in that she bit off way more than she was going to be able to chew in the match.
I wonder at what point she realized, like, uh-oh.
It had to be early on in that first game. I think we jumped out to an early lead in that first game, too.
We did. I think we won the first game 11-6, and it should have been much more convincing.
Yeah. We had a couple mental unforced errors.
Yeah, the play that I cursed with. You had a couple of missed shots from me.
Yeah, you tried to get that. That was the thing, though. You tried to get a little bit too too perfect
to
a couple
hit some
times.
Lines, and it was unnecessary. But, you know, it's fine.
You got to play your game. You got to play your game. That's it. Just play your game.
Are you ready to give our predictions for the Knicks and the Pacers? Don't want to? It's up to you. You don't have to.
I'm ready.
All right, so I've thrown two numbers around, and that's 6 and 5. Knicks in 6 or 5. I projected Knicks beat the Sixers in 5, and I was one game off. So here's what I'm going to do with this one. I'm going to say Knicks win the series in 6. I don't have much concern at all about – I'll be honest with you again. Much concern at all. I think I feel very confident the Knicks win this series. I would lean more 5 than 7. I would be very surprised if we saw a 7-game series here. Very surprised. So I'll say Knicks in 6. If I had to pick a second outcome, I'd say Knicks in 5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to be Knicks in 5, and I would feel good about Knicks in 5, but I also kind of just want to be respectful, and so I'm going to say Knicks in 6.
So you agree with me, Knicks in 6?
Yeah, I don't see 7.
I would honestly be very surprised if this series took 7 games.
Yeah, the only thing, we won't know till tonight when we see it. I'm really concerned. And I think that Tibbs is smarter than this, though, playing every other day at the pace that Indiana's going to want to play at,
right?
up and down. You can't, it's going to be hard to go 7, man.
Well, it feels, and I hate to be disrespectful, I'm not trying to be, it feels short-sighted and kind of dumb, to be honest with you.
Well, the reason why it feels dumb to me is because I feel like Precious has shown you plenty of times this season. This wasn't like a one-off where he's been bad. Like the regular season, he stunk, and then all of a sudden, just because you needed to, you did it, and he surprised you. This is, Precious has been, whenever you've used Precious,
yes,
he's been really good. He deserves the opportunity, especially now.
But here, maybe this will be the difference, okay? Against Philadelphia, very infrequently at all did you ever have a lead where you thought to yourself, you know what, I can get another guy some run, right? It was always, I'm up by 3, I'm up by 5. If I take out Brunson for a minute, all of a sudden things blow up in my face. Maybe you'll have more of an opportunity to use the bench because maybe some of the leads will be different than they were against Philadelphia.
And some of the matchups you like better?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Precious I like Precious anyway. Like, I think he's good against any team. I think he's a valuable player. Could Alec Burks get 8-10 minutes a game? Is that possible? Is he locked in the doghouse, or is he spending time in the doghouse?
See, I think the definition of bench for this team is probably Mitch, Deuce, and Precious.
Okay, well, you know, I think you can live with 8. I think 7 makes it very difficult.
Right. Especially playing every other night.
Yes. Marco, Brooklyn. Good morning, Marco.
Good morning, guys. Congratulations on the big W.
Thank you.
So I think the Knicks are obviously better matchup with the Pacers because the Pacers don't have Embiid or Maxey. No one on their team is as good as those two guys. And I think we got to give Tibbs some more flowers because if he would have lost that game 6, we're only playing those 7 guys, we would have dragged him through the mud. And he stuck to his guns, doubled down, tripled down, didn't listen to anybody. And he played the 7 guys just because it was a closeout game. And he just wanted to close it out and finish it. And those are the guys he trusted.
But I think, here's my question, yeah. Marco. Why has Precious Achiuwa not earned more trust, being that every time he's been called on, he's answered the bell?
I think Tibbs has trust issues, and he trusts his guys, and he just didn't want to take any chances with closing the series out. But I think with this next series coming up, the first four or five games at least, he's going to be having a much deeper rotation. Also, you can't forget, he's down a big bench guy in Bogdanovich. He's down Randall, so... You know, you got to cut the guy some slack. And I think we got to give him some flowers for getting to the next round and really doing a good coaching job against Nick Nurse, who won a championship.
We've given him a ton of credit, thanks for the call, all year long, and said that he's gotten the most out of this team. And I don't understand, why can you not criticize? Like, why do you just have to throw flowers? You could say he's a good coach and he's done well, but still you need to play more bench guys. I don't think it's one or the other. You can say he's done a great job, yet he needs to kind of remedy not playing anybody off the bench.
All right, the bench is already limited. Now, losing Bogdanovich is a big loss. It's a big loss. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, Alec Burks hasn't been good. I mean, he's been a disappointment. There were higher expectations when they traded for Alec Burks just because you had seen what he did when he was a Knick before he went to Detroit and you traded back for him. Precious has been good. Like, this, Precious, I felt like, had earned. Like, how many times did we say, it wasn't just R.J. Barrett and IQ for OG. Precious wasn't just some throwing. Precious actually played well. And then on top of that, in a huge spot in the fourth quarter, he was great when you needed him. And then next game he doesn't play. So, well, what the hell? I mean, what happened?
It doesn't make sense.
Like, at some point you're going to have to be like, okay, I mean, because the other thing too is, as you get later on in these games and these guys start to wear down, that's usually when you start making mistakes.
Right, and you're not thinking about, I just want to get by this one team. You're thinking, this is a long run. Well, then you know what? You need to play some of the guys then.
Yeah, and really talking about one guy. Really, because he plays Mitch and he plays Deuce. We're talking about one.
Right.
I mean, one guy, really.
Right. Well, then it's time. I think and I think you will this series. I'd be surprised if you didn't. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. So Tenenbaum, I swear to you, if he becomes defensive and says that, we were lucky, or I'm going to lose it on him. So I want to hear what Tenenbaum has to say this morning. And still a lot of Knicks, a lot of Rangers. Haven't gotten a lot of Rangers calls today. A lot of pickleball. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. All right, now to hit a home run, everything needs to line up just perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what Michael K. did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick your design, the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 My London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right, so visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention Michael K. told you to stop on by, and you will now get the very special Michael K. treatment.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And I would be stunned if the Knicks didn't win this series. Now, let's take a step back to a year ago. We both felt that the Knicks were going to find their way to beat Miami as well, and that blew up in our faces. But I... like, this is a different animal. Like, Spoelstra's elite, and Miami was a real problem. And Miami went on to beat Boston after that. I don't know. I watched Indiana a lot in the first round, and I was not overly impressed with them.
Yeah, I did too. And I don't think it's the same as far as how we felt about Miami last year and how we feel about Indiana this year. I think we got a little ahead of ourselves last year and took for granted how good that Miami team actually was.
I think that you're right. Now, is there any chance that we're overlooking this Indiana team? I don't think so, but is there a chance of that?
Listen, there's always a chance. Like, you never know what's going to happen. But we also just, I mean, I don't think we took into account the past success that the Miami team had. I mean, all we said was, hey, Miami team took advantage of the fact that Giannis got hurt in that series. And that's why they won. And we felt good about our chances, which was stupid. You never know in the playoffs, man. You never know what's going to happen. But as far as this matchup compared to what we just faced in Philly, I feel better about this matchup.
An easier landing spot, a much easier landing spot.
Yeah, I feel better about this matchup. I mean, we'll get a chance to see it. I mean, we'll get a chance to see kind of some of the things that could cause us problems tonight as far as how fast this thing, you know, how fast Indiana wants to play.
I really believe the Knicks are going to slow it down.
They're going to try. I mean, you're going to try to slow it down, but if you start turning the ball over, or you start, you know, not rebounding as well as you're capable of, and you let them, you know, get up and down the floor. But yeah, you're going to try to slow it down, be super physical with them, rebound, give yourself, you know, second opportunities. If Philly wasn't hurt, if Joel Embiid didn't get hurt, Philly was going to be the 2 seed.
What they finished with 47 and 50 was the
We had 50.
Two? Yes, they would have been the 2 seed. That's right.
Right. So most likely they're the 2 seed. So this is not, I mean, that's not a 7 seed.
No.
No, you got two. You got the most improved player in the NBA, and then you got the, you know, was probably, if he stayed healthy, going to win the MVP. I mean, when he got hurt, I think he's averaging 35 points a game.
What a dirty punk he is.
Yeah, do you see what he's doing? You see the video of what he was doing to
the security guard?
Yeah, that's...
He's not a great guy.
No, I don't, like, listen, I don't think someone as good as Joel Embiid needs to do some of the things that he does, but I mean...
Definitely does not.
You don't, but I've played with plenty of guys that kind of, they walk that line, right? And I mean, sometimes it's dirty, sometimes it's game, whatever you want to call it. That's acceptable to a certain, you know, degree inside the lines, on the ice, whatever it is, going up against, you know, your opponent. But you start doing, like, messing around with the freaking guy that's doing security.
Why?
Like, just to be a tool bag? Like, what are you doing?
But you're just announcing to the world, I'm a bad guy.
Right, it's not creating any edge for the game. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing, playing mind games with a security guard? For what reason?
What's the point? What do you? I mean, come on. What are you gaining from that? It's such a bad look for you. I mean, listen, I don't like him anyway. I think he's dirty. I think he's a flopper. I think all those things. But you're in the heat of action and you're raking across Jalen Brunson. You're stepping on Josh Hart. I don't like it, and I'll call him out on it. But I get it. It's part of the game, right? Dirty, but part of the game. This just shows you're a bad guy.
Right, but yes, you're 100% right. In those instances, you're trying to gain something. Like, you're flopping around. You're trying to get to the free throw line. If you're, you know, if you have this reputation that, you know, I'm gonna hammer you. I'll pretend like it's on accident, but there's a real chance it's not. It's probably on purpose. But you're gonna go up. I'm gonna hammer you in the face. Like, maybe you think twice about doing it. So you're creating some kind of advantage. There's no advantage being gained by messing around with the security guard while you're warming up. That's just stupid.
It just kind of shows you're a bad guy.
Yeah, that's just like, yeah, right. You're being a bad guy.
Right. That's well, you know what? I think if the shoe fits, right?
So I'm glad that crybaby and his coach are done.
They are done. Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Oh, good morning, David, Rick. What's going on? Congrats on the win. That was you know, overall, it was probably one of the best weeks that I've had in a long time hanging out with you guys for those 2 days.
We're glad you could make it. And, I mean, can you believe it was such pure dominance yesterday?
I was a little bit surprised. I thought you guys were going to win. I didn't think it would be, you know, that easily handled. Because the way Anita was talking, I thought she was really good. I mean, she played well, but, you know, it was pretty bad. But, I wanted to, you know, give my thoughts on, like, this Knicks series and stuff like that. I look at this series, and there's nobody on the Pacers that scares me like Embiid and Maxey does. You know, Halliburton's a great shooter, and he's a great passer, but he doesn't have the ability to decide, I'm going to use my athleticism and speed and just attack the rim and go get a tough layup and an and one like Maxi can throughout that whole series. And the other guy is Pascal Siakam. Who better to guard Pascal Siakam than an elite defender and his teammate for the last five seasons in OG and Anobi? The only thing that really scares me in this series is what you guys mentioned is if they're going to go seven, maybe eight with Precious or something like that, maybe the way they run, the Knicks might get tired in a game or two and they shoot really well. But yeah, I see it going six because I see there's going to be a times where that team scores a lot and they're just going to get hot. Just like how in game three that, you know, Embiid and Maxi and the rest of the team in that third quarter just shot like 9 of 11 on three pointers. There's going to be a game or two like that where they're just going to get hot. It happens in the NBA. You know what I mean?
Cullum, then, and thanks for the call and the kind words. They're not a bad basketball team. I mean, Indiana's a good team. They're here for a reason. I think they had a really good first round matchup, right? Going up against Giannis and Lillard, who didn't play, is phenomenal.
Well, no Giannis, and then. I mean, right,
Lillard,
then Lillard
didn't play and then was hampered, and then right. Portis got thrown out of a game, and you know it was a good matchup for them. So I don't think they're a bad team, but I don't think there's anything special about that team. I think the Knicks are. I think they're better. I think they're tougher. I think they're a better rebounding team. I think they're more physical. I think as long as you don't let the lower scoring these games are, the better. But I think the Knicks can outscore them too. Like I think the Knicks are a better team than Indiana.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Knicks are a better team, and they had a tougher first round matchup. And it shouldn't have been that way. I mean, if Giannis is healthy and Dame is healthy, there's a real chance that we're playing Milwaukee in the second round. But, I mean, that didn't happen. Giannis had the calf. Dame ends up having to deal with the Achilles, and that's an older team. Like, the Bucks are in a weird spot right now, trying to figure out what they're doing here as they move forward.
Right. And to have them, I mean, listen, if Giannis and Lillard are there in full capacity, you think that Milwaukee doesn't win that series?
No, I probably think Milwaukee does win that series.
Right.
And I don't think Cullum's wrong either. I mean, they have no Embiid. Of course they don't have Embiid, and they don't have Tyrese Maxey. I mean, they got Halliburton, who's more of a distributor. He can score, but he's more of a distributor. And then Siakam is a guy that has can go off. Like, I mean, in the Milwaukee series, he had a game where he had 36, game where he had 37. But, I mean, you just went up against a team where Embiid had 50 on one leg in Bell's palsy. If he wasn't such a bad guy, and I didn't hate him.
You'd feel some sympathy for him?
No, not even sympathy. Like, in hate how he acts, as much as I hate how he acts, and the fact that he plays for Philly, like, if you take a step back and take the emotion out of it, the guy playing, I don't know what's going on in his knee, but the way he moved around, something
clearly.
And he had Bell's palsy, and he drops 50 in a playoff game.
He's a great player.
But that's crazy.
Some of that gets lost on what a jerk he is.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, can you imagine that? Like, dealing with what he's at his size, dealing with a knee, and then on top of it, he's got Bell's palsy and he drops 50.
Yeah, well, he's got it going on. He's just a jerk. Strong Ron emails in, congratulations, boys. Somehow they made you guys more likable. You guys are the radio Knicks, only getting better and somehow underrated. Anita and Amani, they were the smug Sixers. They thought just by showing up it was enough. Thanks for representing for all of us who support you. Cheers to the four Horseman. You know what? We didn't just win for us. RJ, we won for you. Raymond, we won for you. All the fans, we won for them. So you guys should revel in this victory as well.
I think you guys should not only feel good about this and not only puff your chest out, but I don't think you ever stop. I think when you see them days, weeks, months, years down the road.
Every single time we mention this.
I think so.
Every single time.
Because you guys didn't say a word leading into it.
Nothing. Nothing. Even yesterday when we hopped on the show with Anita and Amani, we said nothing.
I don't know if he gets a chance with Amani. I don't know if we ever talk to him again.
No. I don't know that we ever see him again.
Yeah, that might have been it. At least he showed up. I mean, there was some thought that she didn't even show up yesterday.
And he was there, and he was there early.
There early on the radio,
and he was
very
pleasant. He's always a nice guy. Really, I think he's a really good guy. He just is not a very good pickleball player, and he got exposed.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mike Tenenbaum is on the line, but you know what? He can wait a moment. He can wait a moment because he needs to hear the promo that was playing and so disrespectful, more to me than you. Raymond, leave our mics on so we can comment throughout. Here is that promo.
It's Mornings Meets Weekends. Athlete versus athlete.
Did they know Dave is on the team?
Yeah, I was on the team. It's a
no-holds-barred pickleball clash live from Pickleball America in Stanford, Connecticut. On one side, it's former number one overall pick Rick DiPietro.
We win this match, I'm going to throw hot dogs all over the place.
They were thrown.
And his shapely sidekick, Dave Rothenberg.
How about this? When we beat you, I'll punch you right in the face. How's that sound?
And on the other side, Giants all-time wide receiver Amani Toomer.
That racket, I'm going to stick it where the sun don't shine.
And tenacious competitor Anita Marks.
Google Anita Marks, Miami Fury.
The time for talk has come to an end.
I'm going to go with Amani and Anita.
Well, Dave's not an athlete. Obviously, Rick is a great athlete.
I would set Amani and Anita on the money line.
It's time to lace up, grab a paddle, and hit the pickleball court. Who will win? Find out Sunday, May 5th. At Pickleball America in Stanford, Connecticut.
And what's the answer? Now, when you hear Michael Kay, you love Michael Kay, right? Love him?
Love him.
When you hear him say, I mean, Dave's not an athlete, does that bother you now?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
The whole promo bothers me. Saying you're shapely, yeah. I mean, if perfect is a shape, then yeah, he's perfectly shaped.
Yeah, there you go. See, I like it. And one of the people that was so confident is Little Weasley Mike Tenenbaum. Hi, Mike Tenenbaum. How are you?
Well, I guess to the victors go the spoils, but I guess not elegance, however.
Well, you heard how we were dragged through the mud leading up to this match. You gave us no chance.
I just want to give you guys an update since the match. I've asked Amani and Anita to come see me to bring their paddles, and I need to have a conversation with them, and I'll be in the market to assemble, you know, my next team, you know, as I did every year as a GM.
So are they out?
Well, I can't confirm that yet, but let's just say that, you know, free agency will be getting pretty soon here. So, you know, we'll have options. I'll have options. But based on their respective pickleball performances, you know, the team could look a little bit different next year.
Wow.
Mike, not only did we win, I mean, we systematically took their souls. I'm not even sure Amani still has a pickleball racket. He threw it and left it, on top of the fact that he was smashing pickleballs into the crowd at people.
It was disappointing all the way around. I mean, here's Amani, you know, University of Michigan, great player, longtime NFL player, and you guys shut them out. That's not what me nor, you know, countless others were thinking.
So, you know what I'd like right now, Mike, and you know that we do care about you greatly, although I was horrified to hear that you thought we had no chance. I'd like a full verbal apology. I'll sit here and I'll wait for it. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, the victors go the spoils. You know, the emergency chai lattes will now be on me and not, you know, Rick. It was shocking. I mean, there was a lot of major things over the weekend, F1 in Miami, the Kentucky Derby. But, I mean, what was bigger in the pantheon of sports, you know, then, you know, a couple game sevens, but, you know, the pickleball showdown
was a big deal. It was a big deal. And please, horses have nothing on us. I mean, we went out there. We shocked the world is what we did.
That's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, we have you on the line, might as well take advantage of this. Do you like what the, he'll ask you about the Jets. Do you like what the Giants did in the draft last week?
I don't. I just don't know if Daniel Jones, who's missed, you know, 23 games since 2019, Dave, like, he needs to stay healthy. And typically in the NFL, players don't get more durable as they get older. And, you know, J.J. McCarthy was sitting right there. Obviously, you know, the Penix thing was shocking. But, you know, hope it works out for the Giants. Daniel Jones has ability, guys. But durability, again, would be a massive concern if I was them.
I think that's a very fair assessment. But do you like Neighbors and just thought they should have taken the
I
quarterback?
Do.
Or do you not like Neighbors?
I love Neighbors. He's explosive. He is a difference maker. There's nothing not to like about Malik Neighbors. I thought it was razor thin between him and, you know, Marvin Harrison for, you know, who's the best receiver in the draft. So it has nothing to do with him, but it has everything to do with, like, guys, if we were running the Giants and we're looking at, let alone our division with Hurts and Prescott and those offenses, but, you know, the way Jordan Love's coming and San Francisco and the way Detroit can score, how are we going to consistently compete in the NFC with Daniel Jones as our quarterback against those teams and that competition?
Mike, do you buy at all the whole idea that the Giants were trying to trade up to 3 to get Joe Alt and it wasn't for Drake May? Or you think that's just kind of trying to smooth things over with Daniel Jones? Oh, no, we weren't trying to get a quarterback. You're our guy. We were actually trying to get an offensive lineman up at 3.
Yeah, Rick, I don't believe that for a second. You know, like you drafted, obviously, you know, Evan Neal, you know, Andrew Thomas, you know, you went out and signed Jermaine Olumilor, John Runyon. I mean, we could go on and on and on about, you know, the resources they've, you know, tried to fix the offensive line. So I don't believe that for a second.
All right, last one for the Giants, and then we'll switch to the Jets here quick. Mm-hmm. The whole notion, we've seen this a couple different reports. Dave asked me about this last week, that there's a real chance that Drew Lock could win the job as the starting quarterback. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't think that's inconceivable. You know, guys, if you watch the tape last year, he played well in spots. I liked him when he came out of Denver. He had a little bit of a basketball background. So, you know, it would surprise me, but I wouldn't be shocked. You know, like I was shocked to see you guys win in pickleball. I wouldn't be shocked to see Drew Lock win that job eventually.
Yeah, but you had to eat crow. So you think there's a chance you might have to eat crow with some of your draft analysis here as well.
I'm a lot more confident in my football analysis, apparently, than my pickleball analysis.
So walk me through because, you know, a lot of rumblings leading up to the draft where the Jets are going to take the kid from Oregon State, and they really liked him. They worked him out a lot. I know Fashanu, I've been working on pronouncing the name, and I think I have it right. Were you surprised at all they took him, and what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I wasn't, and I love it. I got to spend some time with Olu in the pre-draft process. Talked to him for a while. He is a great person, great family. Dad was a big influence in his life. He should be, you know, a long-term pass-protecting left tackle. And when you look at Tyron Smith, who hasn't played a full season guy since 2015, I thought that was really smart. You know, job one, two, and three is to protect Aaron Rodgers. Nothing else matters. Look, Brock Bowers is a great player, undeniable talent. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't protected, we saw what happened last year, so I thought that was a really, really smart pick by them.
Mike, after what the Giants, the Jets have done in the draft, where do you think they stack up as far as the AFC East is concerned?
Yeah, they're a high variance team for me just because of Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, and Aaron Rodgers. Look, the part for Aaron is I would actually consider playing him in preseason games because, you know, Rick, you know this, like it's 0.1 seconds that can make the difference between, you know, an athlete being successful or not, getting the pass off, having to throw an incompletion. And if his timing comes back, they have a chance to win the division and really, you know, have a very meaningful season. But he has to be Aaron Rodgers. Like, he has to be a complete difference maker. You know, we talked about the NFC guys, but you look at the AFC with Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar Jackson season, obviously Joe Burrow coming back, then you have Trevor Lawrence, C.J. Stroud, like, the AFC is stacked, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to bring his A game 17 weeks for them to have a chance. If he does, it should be a lot of fun.
All right, Mike, last one for me, and we appreciate you calling, being a real man, although I haven't heard an apology yet. Were you surprised with Atlanta taking Penix after giving Kirk Cousins the $100 million guaranteed?
Yeah, I thought it was a really bad decision. It's not a process-driven organization. If the three of us were running the Falcons, and we said, here's $100 million, and then 5.5 weeks later pivot, that's not acceptable. You either say, hey, we're going to go, you know, pay Kirk Cousins, and we're going to go draft defense. We were awful. They haven't had a double-digit sack player in 9 years. Like, they haven't – they were 23rd in pass rush win rate. They were just terrible rushing the passer. Or you say, hey, guys, you know what? We love this guy, Michael Penix. Let's go get Danielle Hunter. You know, let's go, you know, take our resources – and put into the pass rush and draft the quarterback. I can live with either one of those two. But if I'm saying that with Raheem Morris and we're running the Falcons and saying, hey, every dollar in our system, every draft choice, guys, is extremely precious. This is a resource allocation discussion. And to put all that into one position, it's just going to be really hard. They're going to have to win the game every week into the 30s because they're not going to be able to stop opposing teams' offenses.
Do you distance yourselves from Anita and Imani now? I mean, I know the show in the football season is the three of you. Are you somewhat embarrassed to be involved with them now?
Yeah, you know, I guess I have to reassess everything, Dave. You know, I mean, it starts with pickleball, but, you know, it could quickly snowball from there. So I guess we got to stay tuned. And, you know, like, as it was, you know, we're in free agency now for pickleball and other things. So I guess we got to stay tuned and see how this thing shakes out.
I will completely.
Are you guys?
Go ahead.
Are you guys available on Sunday mornings?
Rick is, I know. He would love to do the show.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Here's what I want from you right now. And if you do what I ask, which I don't think is great, like not huge, all forgiven. I was wrong. You guys were better. That's all I want you to say right now.
I was 1,000% wrong. You guys not only were better, you guys dominated in a shocking display of athleticism. Like I said, it took the cake from all these other things over the weekend, and here we are on Monday morning in New York City talking about the dynamic duo of Dave and Rick just absolutely eviscerating Anita and Imani.
You're back in my good graces. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
There you go. That's what we've converted one. And there you have it.
Well, he's no dummy. He knows.
No.
He knows.
You want to line up with them.
No, especially with how they behaved afterwards. You don't want to.
That's bad sportsmanship. For the ones who get it done, you know, we get it done. This could be a read about us.
It would
possible.
Make sense. It makes sense.
But it's not. It's about Grainger. They offer high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say,
hello!
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.